Earlier on today at our communion service, we were thinking about what we are in Christ, and I ended my sermon by saying, what could be better than what we have in Christ? And that was true, but that was in regard to what could be better in this life than what we presently have in Christ. But tonight, I want you to think and remember and realize that there is something even better than what we have here and now in Christ. And so this evening for our Thanksgiving service, I want to speak about what we will have with Christ. And so we're thinking this evening about the life to come, about the blessings of the life to come, what we will have with Christ. And I want to speak, first of all, about what our Lord said about how he was leaving his disciples and he was going to prepare a place for them. And when we go to be with Christ, we will go to a place prepared. And I want to speak, first of all, about a place prepared. With Christ, we have a place prepared. And there's five things that I want to say about the place that Christ prepares for us. First of all, I want to remind you that it is a better place. It is a better place. And much of what we're told in the scriptures about the place that Christ has gone to prepare for us, much of it is put in terms of the things that we experience here in this present life that we will not experience in heaven. And we have that there in what we read in Revelation 21, verse 4. It says there, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." And the scriptures give this picture of the place that Christ has prepared for us. It's a place where there is no more of all those things that trouble us and cause us grief and sorrow, heartache and pain. There's no more weariness. There's no more worrying. There's no more pressure. There's no more stress. There's no more depression. The place that Christ has prepared for us is a better place. It's better than what we experience here in this life. It is unlike this present life. And that, of course, is a teaching that appeals to everyone. Everyone in the world would relish that prospect of a life where there's no more sorrow, no more death, no more sickness, no more of these things that are always bringing us sadness. And that's the way it will be. But there are other things about heaven that most people in the world wouldn't really like. And they don't have a heart for the biblical place that Christ has prepared for his people. We're assured at the end of Revelation 21 and verse 27 that there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. And sadly for many people, it is the things that aren't going to be in heaven that are the things that make life worth living for them. It is sinful things, things that God doesn't delight in. That's what makes life worthwhile. And the thought of a place where people couldn't do those things that they really live for, that means that they don't really want the heaven that we read of in the scriptures. But for those who have been saved by the Lord, the thought of an everlasting existence where everything is pure, and where we ourselves are pure. That is a wonderful thought, to think that forever and ever we will never sin again. We will never be ashamed of a thought that we've had. We'll never be sorry because of something that we've said. We'll never regret anything that we have done. That's the way it'll be forever. There'll be no sin in us. That will all be gone, and we won't even remember it. And so the place that Christ has prepared is a far better place. It is a wonderful prospect. In the second place, that which Christ has prepared for us, it's a situation in which we will be with God. It's a prepared place. It's a place where we will be with God. The best thing about heaven is not that there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death, and all of those things. But the best thing about heaven is that that's where God is. And those who are God's adopted children go to be with the Father who has done everything for us. And we enter into his presence, and we are there with him forever. And that, more than anything else, is what makes the place prepared a special place. Verse 3 of Revelation 21, the voice is heard from heaven. The voice says, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God." And this is the great thing. And for the disciples of the Lord Jesus, when Jesus was in this world, that was the thing that was most special in their thinking. In John 14, Jesus talked about what he was going away to do, but he said, "I will come back and I will take you to be with me." And that's what they wanted. They wanted to be with Jesus. They didn't want Jesus to be taken away from them in the first place. But if they were going to be with Jesus forever and ever, well, that would be heaven for them. And so it was the thought of being with the Lord. That was the thing that would bring them comfort in all the troubles, in all the troubles they would face in the remaining years of their lives. They weren't to let their hearts be troubled, because they were to remember that they were going to be with the Lord forever. So the place prepared is a place where we are with God. Then in the third place, we are also with God's people. Heaven will not be a place where there's just God and you. Heaven will be a much more wonderful experience than that. There will be many, many people in God's heaven. In that place that Christ has prepared, there will be lots of people there. Lots of people who have lived at different times in the history of the earth. Some who lived in Old Testament times. Some who lived in the days of Christ and the apostles. And others who have lived at the different centuries, in the different centuries that there have been since then. There will be people from all over the world, people from places that we don't even know exist. In Revelation 7, verse 9, John says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count." He says they were from every nation, every tribe, every people, every language, and they were standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. And we're assured that the Lord Jesus Christ, he is going to reap a harvest of people from all the nations of the earth. His people will come from every place across the face of the earth. And the experience of God's people in the prepared place will be that there are many, many people here. Look how many the Lord has saved. So the prepared place is a place where we will be with the Lord's people. And that's a great comfort. That's a great comfort in particular to people who have to spend many hours of their days in the company of those who are not the Lord's people. And that is a trying and difficult experience. And how different it will be to find that everyone whose company we share is a person who loves the Lord. And every conversation will be a God-honoring conversation. There'll be nothing to be ashamed of. There'll be nobody to have suspicions about. There'll be no pessimists in heaven. There'll be nobody worrying about, this is too good to be true. It will be true. And it will last forever. And being in the company of people who have all together been made perfect in Christ and who have no possibility of falling from that perfection, that is something that our minds cannot really take in. We will be with God's people in the prepared place. The prepared place is also one in which we will feel that we are home at last. Jesus sought to convey that when he spoke to his disciples in John 14. In verse 2, he talked about how in his Father's house there are many rooms. And he says, if it were not so, I would have told you. And he says, I am going there to prepare a place for you. And those who will be there in heaven with the Lord in that prepared place are those who know God as their Father. They are those who know Christ as their Lord and Savior. And to those people, heaven will not seem like a strange place. It will seem like home. It will be a place prepared, a place made ready for us. And we will feel we are home at last. And this was what Abraham looked forward to, we're told in the scriptures. Hebrews 11, we're told that when he lived in this earth, he saw himself as a stranger here on earth. And he was longing for a better country. He was longing for a heavenly country. The experience of God's people and what Christ has prepared is that we will feel we are home at last. Then also, in the fifth place, the prepared place, Christ's prepared place will be heaven on earth. The Bible speaks to us in various places about the new heaven and the new earth, and about how the future shape of things, which will last forever, will be different from the present shape of things. Isaiah 65:17, the Lord says, behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. Nobody will be talking about Brexit when the new heavens and the new earth come into being. Isaiah 66:22, as the new heavens and the new earth that I make will endure before me, declares the Lord, so will your name and descendants endure. 2 Peter 3:13, but in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. And Revelation 21:1, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And in Revelation 21, it speaks about the holy city. It speaks about the new Jerusalem. And the new Jerusalem comes down from heaven. It comes down to earth. And that is the place where God is described as dwelling. And we have a picture of heaven and earth no longer being separated, but we have a picture of the two becoming one. And in the new order of things, Heaven comes down to earth, and God lives with his people. And God comes to dwell not on this earth, but on this earth renewed, on the new earth. And the experience of God's people, therefore, is rightly described as being one of heaven on earth. And this concept of the new earth that God is going to bring about, that's an important one for our understanding of the future, what is to come. We shouldn't think that the new earth that God will bring about, it will just be another version of this present earth on which we live. We're told in several places about what will happen to this present earth. 2 Peter 3, verse 10, for example, says, "The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare." But on the other hand, we shouldn't think that God is going to do away completely with his great work of creation. And we shouldn't think that the earth to come will be unconnected to this present earth. It's described as a new earth. And in the Greek language in which the New Testament was written, there are two different words that are used in different places that are translated as new. And the word that's used here is a word that means new in nature rather than new in regard to time. And the new earth will not be a newly created earth. It will not be that God will begin from scratch, but rather it will be the present earth with a new nature. And just as you are a new creation in Christ, but it's still you, the you has continued all along, but God has made you to be a new thing in nature. So it is with the earth itself. It will be made new. It will be changed. The old will have gone and the new will have come. But there is that continuity. It is the earth. And Paul refers to this in Romans chapter 8. In verse 21, he says, "The creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay, and the creation will be brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God." The very world itself is waiting to be made new. And that is what the Lord is going to bring about. There are many gloomy pictures being presented these days in terms of the future of this earth. And there are fears that if one thing doesn't bring disaster upon the earth, well, something else will bring that disaster. Well, the scriptures tell us what is going to happen. Yes, this world as we know it is going to be destroyed by fire, but it's not going to be annihilated. Rather, out of this present world, God will bring forth a glorious new earth where heaven is on earth. It will be purified of everything that defiles, and it will never go bad again. And God's glorious work of creation that we read of in Genesis, that work will shine forth, and God will not be seen to have been defeated by Satan, that God had to scrap what he had made and start again. He won't do that. The place prepared for us by Christ will be an experience of heaven on earth. What we will have with Christ is a prepared place, and it will be thoroughly prepared. The Lord will have thought of everything. There'll be nothing missing. There'll be nobody complaining in heaven. If you ever go on holiday somewhere and you read some of the online reviews, you'll find you'll find loads of people saying how good this place was and how friendly the people were, how helpful they were. You'll always find some people that are saying this was a terrible experience. You don't want to go to this place. How can they be right and all those other people who had such a good time be wrong? It's the people who are grumblers. That's where the problem is. And you don't need to worry about the place. It's just don't pay any attention to what those people say. Well, there'll be nobody who will have any grumbles about what will be our experience in the prepared place. It is a thoroughly, thoroughly well-prepared place. Well, in the second place, I want you to realize that it will also be a place of activity. The Bible doesn't tell us an awful lot about what the people who will be with the Lord forever and ever will do in the everlasting life to come. That's probably because our present minds are so wired to this earth that we couldn't take in what it will be like in the world to come. But we're given a few glimpses that indicate that there will be plenty of activity in heaven. In heaven, God's people will enjoy, first of all, will enjoy communion with God. At present, our experience is often that God is far away. God's way up there, and we're down here. And we don't often feel a special closeness to God. But in heaven, we will always feel a closeness to the Lord. God will be with his people. That's what it's all about. And we will be with him. And if you love someone, you want to be in their company. And it doesn't matter too much, really, what you're doing. It's just to be with that person. That's what makes the thing special. And the Lord's people will enjoy a communion with God greater than anything we know here in life. There will also be the if we can think of it in this light, the activity of rest. In Hebrews chapter 4, it speaks about a Sabbath rest for the people of God, and it seems to refer to heaven. Heaven will be a rest for weary believers. A rest from all the things that we've spent our lives doing. We will leave behind all of those tiresome chores that took up so much of our time. There'll be no more going to the doctors and getting tests done and bloods checked, and no more going to the dentist, and no more of those things. No more elections, no more politicians, no more Stormont, no more Westminster. Gone. Gone forever. No policemen. No deadlines. There will be rest. A rest that God's people will be able to enjoy. And heaven will be a place also where we will participate with everyone else in the worship of God. Revelation chapter 19, first 8 verses, gives us a picture of God's people in heaven worshiping him. And no doubt that will be a major part of our life in heaven. I think when you're in the presence of God, the natural thing is to worship him. You don't think of doing anything else. It will be the thing that is just the right thing to do. It will be what we will want to do. We won't have to convince ourselves, well, I really should worship God today. Sometimes in this life, there are many things that would hold us back from truly worshiping God. But in heaven forever, we will be in his presence, and worship will be natural. And so we can look forward to that. We'll be able to worship God then forever in a way that we've never been able to worship him as yet. Heaven will also be a place of serving the Lord. Revelation 22, verse 3, speaks about how the Lord's servants there will be serving him. That is what God's people will do. We will be his servants. And what will he want us to do for him? Well, we'll find that out when the time comes. In heaven, we will be servants of God. That's not something that's just confined to this life. At the minute, God has angels in heaven, and they do whatever he tells them to do, and they're glad to do it. But we will join the angels, and we will have a serving role, serving the Lord. And we will be like loving children who will delight in doing whatever our Father gives us to do. So there will be lots of activity in heaven, and we will understand that much better when we get there. Do these things cause you to rejoice in your heart and to realize that you really are blessed in Jesus Christ? For some people, they don't. Some people are much more at home in this world. For some people, it's doing what I want to do. It's doing the things that I enjoy. It's doing the things that I'm into. That's really what I want. And for some people, the thought of living in a world where those things that bring them pleasure wouldn't be there anymore, well, they just come to the conclusion that that wouldn't be heaven for me. God has to give us a heart for heaven. It's not something we have in us by nature. We have to be made alive in Jesus Christ to ever think that it really would be a good thing to be with the Lord forever. God is able to do that. God is able to give a person who had no spiritual appetite at all, he is able to produce that. And when God makes someone a new person, they have a new desire, and that desire extends to heaven itself. So in Christ, we will have a prepared place. And in Christ, we will have a place of activity. And in the third place, in Christ, we will have a place with only one way in. How do people get to heaven? Well, the world of religion would suggest that there are all sorts of ways that people can get to heaven. And that depends where you're born and what you've been taught as to what the way to heaven is for you. And if you've been born in this part of the world and you've been taught this type of religion, that if you follow that type of religion, that will get you to heaven. And if you've been born somewhere else and it's a whole different type of religion, well, if you do what you've been taught, God will be merciful and he'll allow you into heaven. And if you're someone who has never been taught these things at all, well, God's certainly not going to hold that against you. And there'll be a place in heaven for you because you didn't even get to hear. And that's the thinking that is expressed in many places at present. And generally speaking, across much of the population, there is the thought that there's only one thing you have to do to get to heaven, and that's to die. That's all that's required, and that's not too hard. So far, everybody's been pretty good at doing that. And many people just think that all a person has to do to get to heaven is to die. And so all the celebrities that we read of who die, people are talking the next day about how they're up there in heaven looking down, and there'll be something in terms of their life as an entertainer that they'll be they'll be doing in heaven, and all of these things. And heaven is assumed to be the almost universal destination of people when they die. But that, of course, reflects the godless thinking of this age, where people know little of what the Scriptures teach. And God's Word assures us that there is indeed only one way to heaven, but it's not by dying. Rather, the one way to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Familiar words of Jesus in John 14, when he told the disciples he was going away, and they wanted to know how to get to where he was going to, because they wanted to be with him. And Jesus said, "Well, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." And he said, "No one comes to the Father except through me." And that is what the Bible teaches us, that there is one way into this great, prepared, busy place, and it is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he must be our only hope of heaven. Don't hope that you'll get to heaven because of what you have done, because of your record of church attendance, or how many times you've read the Bible, or anything like that. Our hope has to be in Jesus Christ. He is the way. No one comes to the Father except through him. And no one gets to heaven except through Jesus Christ. People have to hear, therefore, of Jesus Christ. They have to hear the good news of the gospel, so that they have the opportunity to believe in him. And that is essential. Heaven is a wonderful experience. There is a place prepared for God's people, a place that we will enjoy, that we will not be remembering the things that we did here in life and wishing we could be doing those things again. Those things will be remembered no more. And that which has come will totally replace that which we have known. If we are trusting in Jesus Christ, we have found the way to heaven. And we can be sure that if Christ is our hope, well, then this is the place that he has prepared for us. And so in our communion season, we've been thinking about what we wear and what we wear without Christ. We were those who were hopeless, and we were so far gone that we were spiritually dead. But in Christ we are made alive, and everything changes. The old has gone and the new has come, and we have the best life that anyone can have in this world. But there's better still to come. And what we will have with Christ is this prepared place that will exceed all our best expectations, all our best thoughts and best hopes. And we will forever praise the Lord for the wonderful place that he has prepared for those who are in Christ. In this life, there's nothing better than being in Christ. And all who are in Christ will go on to enjoy that which is even better, the eternal life with him. Amen.